Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Lingraphica Radio, everyone. This is our third of four episodes to celebrate Aphasia Awareness Month. Today we'll be learning about the vital role that caregivers play in caring for those with aphasia. Once again, we're delighted that Dr. Audrey Holland is joining us. Dr. Audrey Holland has always been an early proponent of a life participation approach to aphasia, which places priority on the life concerns of those affected by aphasia and assists them in their efforts to return to active life. Also joining us today and leading the conversation is Lingraphica's Vice President of Innovation, Sales, and Marketing, Michelle Hart-Henry. Hi, guys, and welcome.
Thanks, Steve, and hi, Audrey. Thanks again for joining us. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You know, this conversation especially has particular relevance to me because, Audrey, as you know and as we've discussed, I was once a caregiver to someone with aphasia.
Absolutely.
And before that happened, I had never even heard of aphasia. I didn't know anything about it. You know, the number two person most affected by a diagnosis of aphasia is obviously a spouse or a caregiver of someone who has it. Can you tell us some of the highs and lows that you've seen in the caregiving world related to aphasia?
Well, yes. Certainly, you were not alone in that world of knowing nothing about aphasia. That's true of the majority, I think, of the American populace. But what is really a low is that for many people who don't know about aphasia, they often don't know about aphasia even when it hits their families. And that is one of the most, I think, devastating things that can happen, not only to the person with aphasia, but for the entire family constellation as well. So the lows are that you leave the rehab center and you still have no understanding as a family member and probably the person with aphasia what this disorder really is. Now, the highs are obviously the obverse of that, so that if you are informed and helped right from the get-go, that's what I think gets not just rehabilitation, but life after rehabilitation off to a really good start.
I think I absolutely agree with that statement. I know that even in my own case, if I had known, if I had been better informed or better educated, I probably could have done a better job of caregiving. And I think that is so key. And, you know, with your background and history as being one of the earliest proponents of the life participation approach, which you actually discussed with Dr. Steele in our show last week, how does the caregiver fit into that framework?
Well, first of all, let me say that it's really part of the problem is that soon after stroke, people really are maybe not in the position to absorb the information, so that it's something that has to be continuously repeated and right from the get-go. But in the big world, once that initial period is over, then aphasia isn't a problem just of one individual. It's a problem of a family, so that the person with aphasia is only one piece of that. Virginia Sautier used to talk about the identified patient, and she was a family therapist. And what she meant by that was the one that everybody recognized as having a problem. And that only meant that that was the one that people identified. But the problem belongs to the family. And in the best of all possible worlds, in my view, there should be as much emphasis on helping other significant others as trying to help a person with aphasia. Because where are people going to live? Not in places where they're going to get language help or not where there's constant therapy going on, that they're going to live in a family unit and families who understand and families who realize that they have their own problems as well that are resulting from aphasia, I think make far better adjustments. Michelle, you were talking about a family, a spouse couple that you recently saw who really exemplified that. And it's a terrific important point that it isn't just the person who carries the label of aphasia, but who has problems with it. But it's everybody else. Your lifestyle changes, your roles change, and you live essentially, I think, you have the potential of leading a somewhat, if not greatly, different lifestyle than before. And that's just not the person with aphasia. That's everybody around them. So I think that answers the question. Michelle?
I think it does, and I think that you're absolutely right. You're referring to the couple that came today, actually, to our Lingraphica aphasia user support group. And this is a group of people that meet here at Lingraphica who have aphasia and who use our speech-generating devices. This couple came in today. They were guests. And the wife, I think, has just taken on this amazing role of you know, superhero support person, in that she is doing everything in her power to keep her husband active, engaged, and involved in life. And yet he is severely expressive of aphasia. And yet, you know, they travel, they go on trips, they scuba dive, they do some amazing things. And obviously not everyone who has aphasia can have those kinds of supports and resources. But I think that the aphasia community itself is beginning to put in other kinds of supports and get a better understanding of this. Can you talk a little bit about some of the supports and the resources that you're starting to see come through for family members and caregivers?
One thing I would add there is that as someone who has run support groups for a very long time, it's just important to keep in mind that, well, typically in a support group, we start out talking about a person with aphasia, and I remind people, no, we're here to talk about the problems you have because they're equally important, and then we slowly get back, whether we want to or not, to talking about the person with aphasia. Remember that your problems as a spouse are equally important, so they need to be dealt with too. Now, I think that's one of the things that has changed. I think people are more aware of that and are more aware of the necessity for providing as much, if different, support for families as for the individual identified as the person with aphasia. I know you have programs at Lingraphica that are specifically designed for helping spouses. I think that as the telecommunication role opens up, that it's not going to be just for people with aphasia, but also similar programs for caregivers and for others who are in the family loop. Is that the kind of thing you meant, Michelle?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that those are the kinds of things that, you know, we are beginning to see more of, you know, support groups and online resources and, you know,
right,
more activities and engagement through the aphasia centers. And, you know, even groups like ARC, where there's a lot of support for both the person with aphasia, but also the family members, so that they can all start to feel very, you know, normal and engaged, and that this is just, you know, a part of this particular life path, but it's not the end of a life path.
All right.
And I
would add one other thing that I think is really critical to this. It's not necessarily some, you should pardon the expression, expert telling you what to do, but the best sources of information about stuff that works post-stroke comes from other families with aphasia. I mean, in many ways, I love running spouse groups because I can kind of sit back and say, that's a really good idea. I never thought of that myself. And be kind of like a Johnny Appleseed. But the best ideas and the terrific support largely comes from other people who are in the same boat.
Agreed, and I really wish that I had found that kind of support in our situation early on.
Yeah,
what are the other kinds of like early actions or first steps a caregiver or a family member of someone with aphasia should do shortly after a diagnosis or a stroke so that they can kind of not be out there wandering alone like I did?
Well, I think you have to actively seek support. And it is becoming very apparent that you need to seek support from your therapist in the hospital, from the people who work around you, and be a nudge. You know, try to find out. But one of the major ways to do this is the vast resources that one finds on the internet. I'm very respectful of. I mean, some of it's not quite right, but a lot of it, 90% of it, I would suggest. Is helpful. The National Aphasia Association, Michelle mentioned programs like the Aphasia Recovery Connection. Aphasia groups are burgeoning everywhere. Centers are starting all over the place. And seek information about them. And the more proactive family members are, the more likely you can receive help early. Now, I need to add that I think I understand what a tiring situation this is in the early stages and how tired people are. But the best way to give yourself a break is to find out ways that you can get help even though you are tired while you're doing that.
I think the tiredness I absolutely agree with, and B, get help early, get information early, and do as much as you can to seek that, not only so that you know, but also so that you feel less alone. Audrey, I really want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. I think that this is such an important aspect of aphasia, and the takeaway I have is it's not just a person with aphasia, it's a family with aphasia. So thank you so much.
I couldn't agree more. I've enjoyed it. Thanks.
Audrey and Michelle, thanks very much for sharing your chat today. This series of chats, Audrey, has just been very informative and helpful. I'm sure it's helping people with aphasia and especially their caregivers. To our listening audience, whether you're a person with aphasia, an SLP, a stroke center, or a support group, and most especially if you're a caregiver, please join us at facesofaphasia.com and share your story. As you've heard here today, sharing stories is extremely helpful to caregivers thrust into this new, very confusing role that they're in. Please tune in next week for our fourth and final show when Dr. Audrey Holland joins us again to talk about the future of this work in aphasia. Thanks, everyone. And again, the website is facesofaphasia.com. Bye-bye.